This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending 7 December 2018. Well, before I get started there, I missed last week. I was in London, got back late, and decided just to forego the weekly perspective. I try not to miss too many, and I probably could have done it a bit late. But regardless, here we are this week. Let's get going. First one up, Dow plunges nearly 800 points on rising fears of an economic slowdown. This was published on Tuesday, the 4th of December by CNBC. And it looks to me and many others as if we probably have put a top into the stock market, but it still is in a territory or range that needs to be determined further. This chart from MarketWatch, which is interactive, you can see here on 12/3, basically looking at a Dow of about 25,781, where I have this cursor, to the close at the end of the week of 24.5, we'll call it, round it up slightly. So basically what we saw this week was a decline of over 1,000 points. And this is significant, and especially when you go deeper into the data and realize the advanced decline line, which is a fancy term for saying a heck of a lot more losers than winners, selling off on big volume. Anything that you know as a professional or a sophisticated investor points to the fact that the stock market is showing quite a bit of weakness here. And again, most likely over time to the downside. Lots of talk about Deutsche Bank, which has been in and out of the financial press and especially the alternative financial press, such as this one. Deutsche Bank may be the cause of the next global crisis. This was an interview done by Greg Hunter with Bill Black. And if you haven't listened to the interview, I suggest you do. It's up to you, obviously, but there are all kinds of systemic risks surrounding Deutsche Bank because their tentacles, as shown in this diagram, go everywhere. Basically, according to Mr. Black, and I agree, it's basically a criminal enterprise. So lots to worry about in the banking sector, but I wouldn't put too much fear. It's not about fear. It's about reality. And it's about, you know, what you've done personally or professionally to extradite yourself from the repercussions that could take place. Obviously, the best place to go is to have a position in precious metals. And you don't have to go overboard to have a position that will protect you under almost any circumstances going forward from a financial perspective. Moving on to the auto sector, I hardly do one of these every week without getting at least one article up from Zero Hedge. Ford to announce 25,000 job cuts, from Morgan Stanley. There are other articles out there, one about GM, General Motors, being Carmageddon. They take off on Armageddon. I will shout out to Dave at X22 Report. I mean, I think he was the first or one of the first to point out what many of us continue to point out about the amount of auto manufacturing going on in the United States and how there was channel stuffing going on. Channel stuffing is a slang term that means these cars leave the factories. It looks good. It's a sale from their perspective or their accounting methodology. But all these cars do is take up space on lots of car dealers. And I travel quite a bit, as anyone that's listened to me or followed me for very long knows. I see many cities in the United States and worldwide, and I've seen channel stuffing across the United States. And even in foreign countries, I've noticed there doesn't seem to be as many new cars on the road as I've seen in past years. I was in Europe recently, and what I noted was a fair amount of Mercedes. And what's interesting is the Uber driver was explaining to me the reason you see so many Mercedes is that they can't sell them, but they got a great lease program. So everybody's leasing them. Now, whether or not that's true or not, I have one data point I want to make, and I thought about it before doing this video, is that it's similar to the housing market. I mean, a housing market or a real estate market, broader perspective, if you have a rental property and you were going to sell that house and you're going to sell it at today's mortgage rate, and the payment for someone buying that house was $2,000 per month, but yet you can only rent it for, let's say, $1,300 per month, then there's something really drastically wrong, because what that really means is that it's overpriced. And there are probably some real estate investors that are going to argue with me. You can, go ahead. Point I want to make is it's similar to the auto industry, that if you can't afford the car at this price, well, we'll discount it to you and we'll let you rent the car on a monthly or really an annual basis. Coming back to real estate, if the real estate was market was adjusted properly to the wage earner or people that wanted to buy homes, basically they would be available at the cost perspective of the people that were making the earnings. So I didn't say that very well. So someone out there working for a living that could afford a mortgage of $1,300 a month should be able to find a house $1,300 a month. And if the house he can rent for that price isn't one he can buy for that price, there is a delta there. There is a change. There is a discrepancy between reality and perception, because the house should be able to be bought at that price. So if you're a real estate investor and you're not aware that real estate is overvalued at this particular time, almost everywhere, particularly in Australia, I would urge you to not listen to me, do your own research, take your own evaluation, and look, every case is different. I mean, there's people out there that have rental properties, and the example I'm using, maybe their mortgage was $800 per month 10 years ago or 20 years ago. The house or apartment buildings paid off, or the warehouse or whatever. And certainly they're in a much different position than in today's world. All I'm suggesting for your consideration is the hard numbers and whether or not an asset, and all assets, go undervalued, fair valued, or overvalued. You want to know where you are. Stocks, still overvalued. Gold, still undervalued. Real estate, most places, overvalued. Just the reality. And every week I try to give you the top news from an alternative perspective, but back it all up. I try to include the bond market, the stock market, the energy market, usually something on cryptos, and then gold and silver. We're on energy right now. This is from my friend Steve St. Angelo from SRS Rocco Report. We'll read the whole article. Very important to understand. It begins, rapidly falling oil prices first, guts tar sands, then shale oil. Talks about the Canadian government curtailing their tar sands. Price paid for tar sands oil has fallen a stunning 77% from its peak just 2 months ago. That's the key. You can read that part of it. And then he goes on to say, what does this mean for shale? The U.S. shale industry is in deep trouble as 75% of the companies are still suffering from negative free cash flow. While I've written about this many times, meaning Steve, one of my readers sent me the following article by Arstad Energy. More than 75% of dedicated U.S. shale oil companies keep reporting CapEx in excess of CFO. Essentially, the market is still not convinced that a typical shale oil energy and producer is able to grow in a self-sourced manner, as more than 75% of dedicated U.S. shale oil companies keep reporting CapEx figures in excess of cash flow from operating activities. In other words, they're misreporting really what they're able to do. They don't have a cash flow that sustains an ongoing business model. And this is true. You can look in the numbers yourself. Most won't dig that far. But if you do, you'll find out that that is a true statement. So finishing off this week's perspective, I try to keep them around 10 minutes. This is from RT Russia Today. Online gold sales soar 400% as cryptocurrencies plunge. So we've had a bond market that's gone inverted, which portends a recession ahead. A stock market that's most likely topped. We have had a pretty big decimation in the crypto world. Bitcoin fell off the 6,000-ish layer and has moved down into the 4,000-ish layer. And there is a lot of talk about what's further ahead. I'm just going to now go to this article. Amidst a huge sell-off of the cryptocurrency market, supported gold is picking up. Sales jumped fivefold Tuesday, as one of Europe's largest online dealers stated. According to CoinInvest director Dale Marburger, the company sold almost 30 kilograms of gold worth $1.2 million in the spot market. So that's just one data point, but it is interesting. The other part that I find interesting, and I haven't done enough research to comment yet, is where the asset-backed, or more specifically precious metals-backed cryptocurrencies are in this whole scheme of things. Are they getting more interest? Are they ignored? Are they following the general trend of all cryptos? And really not sure, but I will be looking at that and reporting on it in further updates on these weekly perspectives. And on to gold. This is from Kitco. I could have picked several articles. This one was pretty succinct. After nearing a five-month high on Friday, gold analysts are optimistic that this positive momentum will be carried through to next week as markets scour for hints as the Federal Reserve's future monetary policy outlook. Gold prices had a great trading week, closing in the green on Friday after touching the highest level of $1,254.30 an ounce for the first time since July 17th. The February COMEX futures were last trading at 1254.20, up 0.85% on the day. Certainly gold, not backed up as much by silver, have started to move up the on volume. Things look good. It's a seasonality. It used to be very reliable, meaning usually the last quarter or near the end of the last quarter of every year, gold and silver, platinum, palladium as well, would start to move up into January, usually last January, February, and halfway through March. That's going back several years. In the last 7 years where we've had pretty much a down market, a lot of the trading has gone to the last trading day of the year and printed the low for the year on those days. However, this year it looks like the momentum is up. I do expect a good movement for the metals into and through January as a minimum. And then palladium has been the spotlight. We were lucky enough or good enough to get in on the palladium market early and had pretty good profits. And knowing that January is usually the high, especially for the white metals, platinum, palladium, which I used to trade avidly on that seasonality, I sold palladium into the rally of January of this year, which obviously 2020 hindsight, I could have done better. I could be holding it still. I'm not. Some people that are subscribers probably are still holding or sold part or didn't. I don't know. But what I do know is that taking a profit's not a bad thing. But palladium is actually, in my view, starting to get overvalued. There are others that say not. I do think that there's an opportunity for a spread trade coming up, but I wouldn't get on it until the market proves the trend. That's the way, you know, I've traded for years. So I'll wrap it up. Let my passion create your wealth. If you're not a member of the free Morgan Report, sign up at themorganreport.com. There is a free weekly update like this, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of every week. Once in a while, I miss, like last week. And in addition to that, consider a subscription to the Morgan Report on the website. You can use the pull-down window and see the opportunity on our sales page, what a full subscription will do to benefit your pocketbook, your wealth, to help preserve it and build it. Until next week, remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.